Greetings, salutations, and positive vibrations, and welcome back to the World Class Football Podcast, Off the Post. I am your host, as usual, football journalist Nick Maitland, and on this week's episode, we have so much to discuss, but today, we are sharing some fan sentiments. Later in the show, we'll be hearing some fan sentiments, some general feelings about their club, because momentarily, you have to check in with persons because a lot of persons, their mood and their well-being is linked to how well their football club is performing. Yes, believe it or not. And I am one of those persons, or used to be one of those persons, until my particular beloved club started to disappoint me a little too often. But I digress. I digress. On the local front, we have some news. The Barbados Football Association has selected a 20-man squad to represent the island at the CONCACAF Under-20 Men's Qualifiers in the Dominican Republic, and they're already off, they're already there, probably already training as we speak. The squad was selected following a series of trials and training sessions under the guidance of Under-20 head coach Fitzgerald Fitz Carter. Call him Fitzy as well. Carter's men were placed in Group C alongside rivals Bermuda, Puerto Rico, and St. Vincent and the Grenadines. I believe Montserrat have pulled out of the tournament. And the games are scheduled for the 6th, 8th, and 10th of November. Let me just check the schedule quickly. I should have had that information to hand. I'm very sorry, but I'm searching. Yes, Puerto Rico versus Barbados at 4 p.m. on Saturday, November 6th. Monday, November 8th, Bermuda versus Barbados. And Wednesday, November 10th, Barbados versus St. Vincent and the Grenadines, and that is the match schedule for the under-20 boys. The four group winners and the region's top 16 ranked teams based on the CONCACAF men's under-20 rankings will receive a bye to the tournament, and that will be held next summer. This is the team: Kemar John, Justin Griffith, Zuri Morris, Trey Byer, Raekwon Jones, Jaden Francois French, Kevon Lucas, Tyreek Bailey, Adio Ford, Nadre Butcher, Honor Bradshaw, Kyle Ford Blades, Jamal Watson Cummins, Mikolai Jaiziko, Kimani Cox, Tenas Thorne, Jaheim Headley, Kobe Hudson, Janash Jonai, and Adam Malaleo. The head coach, as I said, is Fitz Carter. The assistant coach is local legend Kent Hall. The team manager is referees manager Mark Bob Ford. The kit manager, Patrick Mappy. Trainer is Chad Bino, former Notre Dame and UWE, University of the West Indies, Blackbirds footballer. The physiotherapist is Johan Lashley, and the goalkeeper coach is goalkeeping legend Bernard Howell. I wasn't able to get into contact with Fitzgerald Carter. Our man on the spot is Anmar Goodridge Boyce, and he will be giving us daily updates of the under-20 team. But I spoke also to another legend. We only have legends here on the World Class Football Podcast. Another legend, Ronaldo Pee Wee Jilts, a good friend to the podcast as well, and he gave his opinion on the under-20s, having worked with so many, if not all, of those young men.
I'm pretty excited to see our under-20 boys participate in the under-20 CONCACAF qualifiers. It's been some time that these youngsters would have been active at any level, domestic or international. Coach Fitzgerald Carter have handed potential national debuts to 12 players who've never featured at this level. And it should be an interesting one for them and totally for the team. Obviously, there are a number of players who are based abroad who were unavailable for whatever reason. So it gives these local boys an opportunity to show that they can basically make the cut, especially with the CONCACAF final championships June next year. So if we can get past this round, obviously only one team qualifying from this round. If we can get past the likes of Puerto Rico, Bermuda, St. Vincent, we will do quite well. We played Puerto Rico and Bermuda before, and we were quite successful against them in the last under-20. However, this is football, and from what I've seen from the Puerto Rico roster, none of their players are actually based in Puerto Rico. None of them are based in the U.S. at colleges and academies, and there's a couple of few based in Spain and other places around Europe. So obviously that experience and expertise and coming in, obviously, with matches under their belt, made them probable favorites. Bermuda also have a pretty international roster as well, with a number of players based in Europe, obviously coming in with some games under their belt as well. So it makes quite of a challenge. St. Vincent, obviously, in a similar situation like ours, so that should be an evenly contested group. But I mean, football is one of those games that can feature on the day and anything is possible. I just think we just need to give 100%, lend our support behind the boys and leave it up to them on the pitch. I wish them all well, and I hope that we can advance on the next round.
Thank you, Pee-wee, and we share in your sentiments of success for the under 20 boys, and we will be keeping a close eye on them. And you guys as well, make sure you keep a close eye on this space, as we will be bringing you a lot of coverage of the under 20 boys in Dominican Republic, and we wish safe travels and a safe time. The under 17 girls were also in action earlier this month, and Barbados competed in group 2 of the tournament, and they played Belize and Curaçao. They lost 2-1 to Belize and 2-0 to Curaçao at the CONCACAF under 17 girls qualifiers. Head coach Richard Juggy Ford, I spoke with him. He gave an assessment of the girls' performance. He was very proud of them. There were some things that he hopes to improve on, but generally he's very pleased with these young ladies, and he appealed to other persons, other ladies under the age of 17 who would love to play football and love the chance to represent the island, to come out, take it seriously, and he will guide you along your way. He's an experienced coach. He's been there, done that, in both the men's game and the women's game, and it's very noble of him and so many others to lend their expertise to this burgeoning women's game. I spoke with him, and this is what he had to say.
For me, I'm looking at the future with this team, because I think that this is a team, being kept together, they can do wondrous things for this country.
You would have pointed out the things that maybe you would have been pleased with, and the things that you know, not really so pleased with, especially possession. I know for all coaches, when your team doesn't keep the ball well, that always gives you that kind of anxiety on the bench, that kind of nervousness when you're watching the game. And I could understand what you mean there. Tell me about the future preparation then for this team. You obviously want to keep this under 17 unit together. So going forward now, what programs, what training programs, what things are you going to put in place for these girls to keep them together, keep them training, and you know, make this team into the successful under 19, under 20, under 21 women's team and beyond?
First thing first, we will need strength and conditioning course, because I think that is, fitness was one of our areas too that we lack in the tournament. As for going forward in the future, my recommendations to the FA is to have these girls play a number of friendly games, you know, just to keep them in what we will call the training mode now and going forward from here. There are some areas that we still need to work on, mm-hmm. and those areas will be worked on strenuously. Bringing other coaches in to come and help in certain areas, I think that would be helpful. Because for me as a coach, this is not a job for one person. For me, this is a job that you need a lot of other coaches who can bring a lot of great experience, you know, to help the girls. Because sometimes as a football coach, when the players constantly hear your voice, they get so accustomed to you, mm-hmm. that, you know, they tend to take it easy. But for me, I think that we need to also bring some experienced coaches to come help out in certain areas. You know, tactically wise, I think that we kept our organization and our share well, but these are things that can improve in time with games. And I believe that a lot of matches, in terms of friendly matches for these girls, will bring them into the fore, because as we went off to the tournament, we haven't really played any friendly games at all. You know, we just train. And this, to me, having friendly and practice matches can give the coach a better insight on what he needs to really work on. But that, unfortunately, we didn't have that. But that is not an excuse. I'm saying is that we can still move forward with this team. We see them in training. We'll be back out to training probably from next Tuesday, mm-hmm. and we will continue our work with these young ladies.
Thank you, Juggy, and well done to the girls once again. And here's hoping that we get better results in the future and even more girls coming out and trying out for the team. And hopefully we can take this unit all the way up to the senior women. Wow, that would be a dream come true for us. When we come back on the podcast, we have some international news to discuss, some international happenings, and it's very interesting to see how these things will shape the rest of our season.
You can contact your Nation Publishing subscription team 7 days a week in 7 different ways. Call customer service any day at 430-5550. Call subscriptions at 430-5503 or 04. Email subscribers at nationnews.com. Email e-paper support at nationnews.com. Visit www.nationnews.com and select print subscriptions. Visit www.nationnews.com and select e-paper subscriptions. Visit our office on Fontebelle St. Michael. If your call is not answered, please leave a message. We are here to serve you. Nation News, your news, your time, your way.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back to the World Class Football Podcast Off the Post. I am your host with the most, Nick Maitland. And first of all, let's mention in the international arena some real tragic news. Tottenham Hotspur announced in a statement on Monday that head coach Nuno Espirito Santo has been relieved of his duties after just 17 games in charge. Tottenham Hotspur in England. The Portuguese last match in charge was a dismal 3-0 home defeat in the Premier League at the hands of Manchester United. Manchester United, remember, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer was on the brink of losing his job as well, but he happened to pull it out. And let's digress to Ole Gunnar Solskjaer for a little bit, because remember, this episode is about supporter sentiment. And as a professed Manchester United supporter, I have to say, I don't think Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is doing a terrible job in general. But in terms of squad selection, in terms of the system that United plays, that is where he's falling down. And against Spurs, he played 3 at the back and secured the result. Against Atalanta in the Champions League, following 3 at the back and secured an important result. It was a draw, but an important draw. I want to see his consistency with that. United plays well when they play 3 at the back. Keep that consistency. Trust your team and make the players gel into this system. So the fullbacks, Luke Shaw, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, Diego Dalot, Alex Telles, they have to play higher up, because we're playing 3 centre-backs, 2 central midfielders, someone in the number 10 role to obviously accompany or to accommodate Bruno Fernandes, and 2 strikers, 2 goal scorers. Let's see how United keep that consistency. And the longer they keep that consistency and the consistency of results as well, is the longer Solskjaer will be in a job. But I never thought that Nuno Espirito Santo was in danger of being sacked. Fabio Paratici, managing director of football at Tottenham Hotspur, said, "I know how much Nuno and his coaching staff wanted to succeed, and I regret that we had to take this decision. Nuno is a true gentleman and will always be welcome here. We should like to thank him and his coaching staff and wish them well for the future." End quote. The club's style of play has also been criticized, with the team scoring just 9 goals in 10 league games, the joint second lowest in the league. And I think Nuno, to come into a new job like this, and first thing on the agenda is to deal with one of the best strikers in the world, certainly top 5 in my eyes, Harry Kane, and all this speculation about him wanting to leave and needing to leave and wanting to win trophies and thinking that it could not be done while he is a player at Tottenham Hotspur. That was very difficult for him, but he managed it. He navigated it well. In the first month of the Premier League, Spurs went unbeaten. Nuno was manager of the month. So I never expected this to happen, but as we mentioned, poor results, lack of goals, lack of cohesion, and to get beat 3-0 at home, kind of the nail in the coffin for Nuno. But Antonio Conte has agreed to take over as Tottenham's manager. It's funny to me, because it seems as though Antonio Conte was being courted by Spurs all along, because he was their choice in the summer. He declined, and they went for Nuno, who many people think he was not nearly their first choice, or their second, maybe not even their third. So it was always a waiting game with Spurs to see if they could get Conte. But they have their man. Nuno has parted ways with Spurs, and I'm sure he will land on his feet very, very soon and land back at another job very soon. He's a good manager. He brought Wolverhampton Wanderers from the Championship into the Premier League, and they are now an established Premier League club. So Nuno is a good manager. He knows what to do, and he will find his place once again. All the best to Nuno, and all the best to Antonio Conte at Spurs as well. I'm not sure why now he's taking the job, but he's taken the job. He's taken training already. He will certainly try to employ his own brand of football over there at Spurs. If we go over to West London, we'll notice that Chelsea are on the top of the Premier League table, playing well, looking menacing, even with players suspended, players injured. The rotation has been good by manager Thomas Tuchel, and Chelsea are looking a real title threat. I spoke to a good friend of the show, and he is the owner and founder of the Shins and Boots football show, Mr. Kevin Branch. He's been a Chelsea fan for over 40 years. And this is what he had to say about Chelsea's season.
My name is Kevin Branch, and along with being the host of the Shins and Boots football show, which can be found on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, I'm also an avid Chelsea fan. I have been supporting the club since 1970, and have seen them face administration, relegation, and now success to a certain extent. Thomas Tuchel was fired by PSG and was hired by Chelsea to oversee the squad after club legend Frank Lampard was fired. While I love Frank as one of our best midfielders ever, he wasn't cutting it as a Premier League coach. One thing he could be given credit for, though, was introducing the footballing world to a slew of young talent such as Mason Mount, Reece James, and one player I was glad to see go, Tammy Abraham. Tuchel made a quote in his first interview, "I want to make Chelsea a team no one wants to play against. 18 clean sheets in the Premier League, 2 defeats, 1 in the Premier League, 1 in the Champions League, and only conceding 17 goals since his arrival. Oh, and by the way, Champions League winners, otherwise known Champions of Europe. Can you sing that? And Super Cup winners. For me, the performance of the season so far has to be going to Anfield, the home of mighty Liverpool, outplaying them with 11 men, Reece James being sent off, and we ended up playing with 10 men and getting out with a point. How do I see the season so far? Well, we're top of the league, but remember, the Premier League is a marathon, not a sprint, and there are many factors you have to look into. How the squad is managed, injuries and coronavirus. So far, so good. We have injuries, but the squad seems to be coping so far. Right now, I can't rate the manager or the season. It's too early. I can't see the future, so I'll be on the fence for this one. This was a Fans View with Kevin Branch.
Thank you, Kevin. World class, as usual. Shout out to Crystal Palace. And again, and Mark Goodridge boys, Crystal Palace, this past weekend defeated Manchester City 2-0. 2-0 at their own stadium. And I'm sure Anmar was jumping for joy for the duration of that game. Wilfried Zaha scored his 50th Premier League goal and became the first player to hit that milestone in the top flight for Crystal Palace. Pep Guardiola also celebrated his 200th match in the Premier League as a manager. So a historic game for many people, but historic result in the end for Crystal Palace and Patrick Vieira. Patrick at Palace! Not doing very badly. You have to talk to Anmar, get Anmar on the podcast to talk about his beloved Crystal Palace and what the future has in store for them this year. As Kevin would say, blue is the color, football is the game, but for this month, blue and yellow and black are the colors, and Barbados is the name of the greatest place on earth. And this month we celebrate Barbados in addition to celebrating football, the beautiful game. So thank you for joining me for this episode of Off the Post, the world-class football podcast. I have been Nick Maitland. You have been some great listeners. We'll catch up again next week. See you later.